Narad Muni continued, the Lord's form is always youthful, every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. Purport, everyone has to surrender to someone superior. That is always the nature of our living condition. At the present moment, we are trying to surrender to someone, either to society or to our nation, family, state, or government. The surrendering process already exists, but it is never perfect. It is never perfect because the person or institution unto whom we surrender is imperfect, and our surrender, having so many ulterior motives, is also imperfect. As such, in the material world, no one is worthy to accept anyone's surrender, nor does anyone fully surrender to anyone else unless obliged to do so. But here, the surrendering process is voluntary, and the Lord is worthy to accept the surrender. This surrender by the living entity occurs automatically as soon as he sees the beautiful, youthful feature of the Lord. The description given by Narad Muni is not imaginary. The form of the Lord is understood by the Parampara system. Mayavadi philosophers say that we have to imagine the form of the Lord, but here Narad Muni does not say that. Rather, he gives the description of the Lord from authoritative sources. He is himself an authority, and he is able to go to Vaikuntha Loka and see the Lord personally. Therefore, his description of the bodily features of the Lord is not imagination. Sometimes we give instructions to our students about the bodily features of the Lord, and they paint him. Their paintings are imaginary. Their description is given through disciplic succession, just like that given by Narad Muni, who sees the Lord and describes his bodily features. Therefore, such descriptions should be accepted, and if they are painted, that is not imaginative painting. So, continuing the description of the form of the Lord, who Dhruva Maharaj is to meditate on. Just by describing any form, especially the form of a person, it's very difficult to understand actually what they look like. If someone is described to us, still it's very difficult to have a clear understanding of what their, for instance, their face will look like. Imagine if you've never seen someone and then you just described his bodily features. Well, just like yesterday for my so-called driving test, they wanted to know some distinguishing feature of the body. So I have some scars on my chin. So that's a distinguishing feature. I don't know if it's very noticeable. It's not the same. But that's a distinguishing feature. But just like if someone wanted to describe my present body, they could say, well, or my what do I look like? Well, they could say thin. Of course, there are plenty of thin people in the world, so that wouldn't be definitive in itself. And bluish eyes, big nose, and like that. If there's any hair, it comes out a bit brown or yellow. And so that might be enough too, if you're going in a crowd of people, say 20 people, that might be enough to say, are you that one, that Bodhidikaswami? The description I got, that seems to fit best of all, but still you might not be quite sure. So by giving a description, you can get some kind of idea, but you can't really visualize exactly what the person looks like. If there's a picture, it's a lot better. It says a picture tells 1,000 words. If you only had to go on a verbal description, you wouldn't have a very good idea, would you? So the verbal description is being given here. How does Dhruva Maharaj know actually who to or what form to meditate on? And you can only, it seems like you can only get a vague idea by a verbal description. Well, I suppose that's one reason why in traditional Indian culture or Vedic culture there are verbal descriptions of the Supreme Lord, and there are also murtis, forms of Him, and paintings of Him, and dramas of Him with the form of the Lord usually played by young boys, so that people can get a very clear idea of what His form actually looks like. A clear idea means that it can only be clear as long as our consciousness is clear. We can't really see Krishna unless our consciousness is clear. So many people saw Him who saw not with premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, but with dvishanjana churita abhakti vilochanena, with the eyes of hatred and non-devotion. So did they see Krishna? Did Duryodhana see Krishna? Yes, I say he saw Him, but no also, because he didn't see Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw some upstart. Shishupal described Krishna as an upstart. He was just some forest boy playing in the jungle without any shoes on and taking out cows, and then all of a sudden, here, what's he doing here? And he's calling himself a kshatriya and a king and marrying all these queens. He's just an upstart. So Shishupal, Duryodhana, there are really cases of pashanapi na pashyati. They saw, but they didn't see. The form of Krishna is extremely attractive, and it's the form of Krishna is one of the prime udipans or stimuli for ecstatic love of Krishna, but which is the natural result of seeing Krishna. But it didn't happen with Duryodhana or Shishupal. Rather, the more they saw Him and the more they heard about Him, the more their dislike for Him or intense envy of Him increased. And Dhruva Maharaj was not envious. Therefore, he was fit to be instructed by Narad Muni, even though he had material desires, but he wasn't envious of Krishna. And so by being instructed in the yoga process for meditating upon the Supreme Lord, the result was that even though he desired material enjoyment, which is actually a symptom of envy, but he didn't have deep-seated hatred toward the Supreme Lord. And he agreed to meditate on that form. Someone, if they're asked to meditate upon a form, they might meditate on their own form. That's one. What's that called? Ahangra upasana? What's that called? Ahangramapasana. Meditate on yourself. Why meditate on Krishna or Rama? Just meditate on yourself. Everyone likes themselves. The mirror is very popular for most people. You don't need the pictures in the house, we'll just have mirrors. Because then I can look at myself. And people like to do so. They take pleasure in looking at themselves. Krishna does also. Takes pleasure in looking at himself. Great pleasure, because Krishna is very beautiful. And anyone who looks at Krishna becomes attracted, including Krishna. And he can really appreciate because his heart is completely pure and he has full knowledge and appreciation of Krishna. He knows Krishna, the Krishna Tattva in full truth. He's not bewildered about the nature of Krishna. So Krishna also enjoys seeing himself. Anyway, that question, how did Dhruva Maharaj know which form to meditate on? Exactly. Well, yeah, I would, from the verbal description alone, you might not quite get it. Just like if we give a verbal description of someone, then you get some kind of idea, but you might not get it exactly. That's what happened with, or you might get, some vague idea, but they're different. There may be many people with lotus-like eyes and darkish skin, but they may have, they'll have some little differences in their bodily features, just like when Chitraleka, she was a friend of Usha, and Usha said, oh, in my dream I saw this beautiful man, and he looked like that, and then Chitraleka drew pictures. They're not like that, but not quite like that. And not, so she drew so many pictures with the general description. And being a mystic yogini, she drew not just some vague pictures, but pictures of actual people. So when she drew pictures of Krishna and Pradyumna, that was pretty close. But when she drew the picture of Aniruddha, then Usha blushed, revealing her that this is the one, actually. So, from her description, Chitraleka, even though a mystic yogini, got some idea, but couldn't quite get it exactly understand, just from the verbal description. So I would suggest that Dhruva Maharaj was already familiar with the form of Vishnu in the way that people today are also familiar with the form of Vishnu by seeing pictures of him, which is there in any, at least as far as we know, it's in any home. Nowadays what we call Hindu home, at least it used to be. It used to be in India. When I came here 30 years ago, you go in any Hindu home and it would be full of pictures of the Supreme Lord and various demigods. In North India, there's Brijvasi prints. They printed some. And here in South India, Kanna, this Punjabi in Chennai, is a distributor of demigod pictures. So there are different companies which are making prints. And even prior to that, people were, with the advent of the prints, and it was just completely normal. It would be unusual in a Hindu home not to have many pictures of different gods. And nowadays, there may be so that you're more likely to see Sai Baba number one or number two, unfortunately. But in those days, actually, hardly you saw them. They were Vedic gods. So it may be that Dhruva Maharaj he already knew or had an idea from seeing the pictures like that of the form, and then when you already have a mental impression of just like then if it's described more clearly, then you can get more a more exact mental impression. Just like I was just thinking of someone. It came in my mind now. Indira Gandhi. Everyone has seen a picture of Indira Gandhi, right? Everyone, when I say Indira Gandhi, in your mind flashes a picture of Indira Gandhi, the form that was there before he got killed. So, we generally see her in her older years where she had, her hair was kind of streaked back like this, and there was this black with a like, kind of white line in her hair, and her nose something like mine bent over like that. And generally we'd see pictures of her smiling like that. And then if you think of the fuller form, then she's wearing a sari. But, so you get a general idea. But then if someone was to describe more what kind of sari she wore, and then her posture, and then you get a very, you have a general idea, but you get a very exact idea based on the general idea that which you've seen in the photo. So, Narad Muni is giving some. Actually, this Ramaniyangam, that doesn't really describe it. It doesn't give a detail, but it gives an overall picture. It's his form is very pleasing. And then some more exact. Not getting into great detail about the length of his fingers, and there are descriptions like that. And just some general points. Tarunam, he's very useful looking. That's very young and fresh and nice. People, when they're younger, they look nicer than when they're older, generally speaking. Then his lips. Aranosh ekshanadharam. Ikshana adharam. Adharam also means lips, isn't it? Here it's translated a little differently. So Osha and Adhara, they're synonyms, are they? Or Adhara means the two lips, is it? Together they're called Adhara, and individually Osha. You don't know that word, Osha? To both lips. Anyway, his lips and ikshana. That means there's the sense of seeing, is it? Yes. So that's used for the eyes. So his lips and eyes, they're like aruna. That's again, it's a figurative term. Aruna is the dawn or pre-dawn, the charioteer of the sun. So that means that the red pinky color. So this is a description of Krishna's form. As I was saying yesterday, so many great poets, they've written about Krishna's form. What is it that inspires them to write about Krishna's form? You can write about so many things. Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Nrinang Santi Sahasrashaha. There are unlimited topics which we can hear about, think about, contemplate, remember. Apashyatam Atma Tatvam Griheshu Griha Medhinam. those who don't see Atma Tattva, they remain caught up, bound up in their household affairs. But one who sees Krishna, he becomes inspired to discuss Krishna, or to paint Krishna, or to perform dramas about Krishna, or write about Krishna, or make deities of Krishna. So what is it about the form of Krishna that inspires? Well, everything about Krishna is inspiring to the soul. It's very difficult for non-devotees to understand this. Why this fixation or this fascination? But for devotees that... why do they write songs? Why write another song about the form of Krishna when there have already been so many? Because it's the natural inclination of the heart of the devotee to glorify Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many songs. It's just a... I'm going to read one now about the form of Krishna. So that comes under the section of his songs, which are grouped together as Ujvas Kirtan. It means just like springing. How would you translate Ujvas? Ebullient? The breath is just springing out. It's just like a natural expression. That's how I understand it. It's not just a matter of breathing. It's not a breathing exercise, but it's an expression of his. How wonderful! So I wanted to read that he's feeling like that, and he feels so much inspiration, he wants to write a poem. And he wrote so many poems. So I read one of them about... Yeah, he has here, Nama Kirtan, Rub Kirtan, Gun Kirtan, Leela Kirtan. Among the Leela Kirtans, that one is very famous, Yamuna Puline, which is grouped here under Gun Kirtan, because they made a mistake. So, Rup Kirtan, here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the descriptions he has of Krishna's form. And we can experience here Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own immense enthusiasm and wonder and appreciation of the form of Krishna, which I'm speaking on because Narad Muni, we're reading the verse about Narad Muni describing the form of Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Janamar shafal ta Krishna darshana ja bhage hoyache ek ba. Someone's life is successful if out of good fortune they can have darshan, see Krishna even once. Bikashiya Hrindayam Kari Krishna Darshan Chare Jeev Chitte Vika. So, which eyes will we see them with? With Duryodhana's eyes? He saw, but he didn't see. What did he see? Hrindayam, the eyes of the heart. So apart from these things here, sticking in the sockets of the skull, the eye sockets, and then in biology class, so you can learn how an impression is received on the retina, and then it turns upside down and it gets up the right way again, and then the optic nerve carries an impression to the brain, and this is how you see. But actually it's not possible to see unless you have consciousness. So you can have eyes, but you won't see anything unless you have consciousness. So there are internal organs also, apart from the external organs like the tongue which tastes and the skin which feels, there are the internal senses which are the facets of consciousness. So Krishna can be seen not with fleshy eyes, not with the this term Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used, the what is that, the mamsadruk. You cannot see Krishna with the eyes made of flesh. So the eyes of them is the internal, but also the eyes of the heart. One has to have the heart to see Krishna. One whose heart is envious of Krishna cannot see Krishna. Even if they see him, they'll see, my enemy has come. My competitor has come. I'm the enjoyer of this material world, and this person, he's my competitor. Krishna's my competitor. So one whose heart is very pure can see Krishna and appreciate. And then the bhikkhushya, that means as the eyes of the heart expand. So how can the eyes expand? Well, one way is like the eyes very big. It's famous, Prabhupada used to sometimes have very big eyes. Also, you need to expand to see Krishna, because Krishna covers the whole universe. So you have to have big eyes. But they'll never be big enough to fit Krishna in. Or we have to expand our consciousness of love. Mother Yashoda saw Krishna, my little boy. She thought, my little boy, he's eating dirt. She looked inside his mouth and saw the whole universe. So she was able to see all the universe present with Krishna. No need to see the whole universe. You see Krishna, you see everything. That's what Akrura said. When he came from, he was bathing in what's now called Akrura Ghat. So he left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. And then he went to bathe in the Yamuna, and he saw Krishna and Balaram also. They're also there. So what's going on? Are they there on the land, or are they there in the Yamuna, or what's going on? And then he had a vision of Krishna and Balaram as being the reservoirs of all the universe, which he already knew that. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he had a revelation of that. And he came back and looking amazed, and Krishna said, have you seen something? What's going on? You saw something wonderful? And he said, when I've seen you, what is there left to see? He'd seen everything. Seeing Krishna. So, Dikoshya Rinnayam. Kari Krishna Darshan Chare Jeev Chitte Bika. By that expansive vision of seeing Krishna, then all the mundane transformations of the heart given up. Now they're left automatically. Vrindavana Keli Chatur Banamali. Who is that person? He is the person who is the decorated with a forest or garland of forest flowers, who is very expert in performing playful activity. He plays very expertly in Vrindavan. Tribhanga Bhangim Rup. His form is bent in three places. Vanshid Hari Aparup, with his, he is the Wonderful player on the flute. Well, that's one reason why it's bent. You have to play the flute. It's convenient to bend the neck. Rasa Moy Nidhi. He's a treasure full of rasa, or an ocean full of rasa. Guna Shali, full of quality, decorated with all qualities. Barna, Navajala Dhar, his form, what's the color of his form? Sham, blue, black. It's often described like this, Navajala Dhar, like a new cloud. Jala Dhar, what holds water. So it's just like a new cloud. And then, Shire Shikipichabar, on his head is the best or very good peacock feather. Alaka Tilak Shobha Pai, and the Tilak is very beautiful. Tilak on his forehead. Paridhana Pitabash, his dress is yellow. He's Badame Madhur Has. That's something you can hear, not see. Well, you can see it also. Very sweet smile and laughter on his face. Hena Rup Jagat Matai, and such a form enchants the whole universe. Indra Neel Ajini, Krishna Rupakani, defeating the Indra Neel means, what is that, ruby? What's the English for that? Yeah, Indra means blue, right? Indra Neel means blue. I guess it's a ruby, isn't it? You don't know? I'm not sure. You want to look that up? I think it's a ruby, isn't it? I think it must be. Anyway, it's one of those gems. Krishna, there may be one ruby, but Krishna's like a whole mine. His form is like a great mine of jewels. Sapphire, that's right, yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't know what a sapphire is, actually. I wouldn't know one if I saw one, but I heard of it. Huh? Sapphire, yeah. I wouldn't know what a ruby looks like either. Krishna Rupakani, Hariya Kadamba Mule. I seeing him at underneath or at the base of a Kadamba tree. Man uchartam na chale charam shangsha gyalam bhule. So the mind uchartam, I don't know what that means. I guess it means the mind is disturbed or in a good way. And then the feet become stunned, they don't go anywhere. And I gave up, just by seeing Krishna, I gave up material life. How, just by forgetting it altogether, I forgot all about my material life. Shakhi hai, here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking as a gopi to another gopi. Shudhamai shai rupa madhuri, that form is full of nectar, that very sweet form. Dekhile nayan hai achetan jhare premamoy bari. When seeing with the eyes, obviously, then you become unconscious. And there is a shower of rain full of prema. How wonderful. Kiba chure. Kiba, you all know this word. Kiba, jayo. It has no particular meaning, but oh. How wonderful. Kiba. Actually, I never heard anyone say that in Bengali. They just say ba, ba. Like short. Kiba. In Bhakti Vinod's language. Kiba chura shire. What's that called? A helmet crown. What a crown on his head, or decoration on his head. Kiba bangshi kore, what a flute in his hand. Kiba shei tribang tam, what a wonderful threefold form. Charan kamale omiya uchale tahate nupura dam. The ankle bells on his feet, they're tinkling just like nectar on his lotus feet. Shada asha kori bringa rupa dhari charana kamale shtan. So I always desire to take the form of a bee and get a place at his lotus feet. Anai ashe pai krishna guna gai. Then very easily you can attain the seeing of Krishna's qualities. I na bhajibo an, and then nothing else to worship. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his glorification of the form of Krishna. We can understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's given us many songs which are more suitable for most of us, our level of advancement. Songs like Amar Jivan Shada Kamarat Nahika Punyara Lesh. This is maybe more appropriate to our present level. That my life is I'm always attached to to sinful activities, and there's not even a trace of piety. So he's given us many songs like this, which he also feels like that as he's singing it. It's not just he's saying it and saying, well, I don't really feel like this, but I'll write it anyway just for the benefit of others. And he feels in his humility like that. But we can understand he's not at all in that situation, because he writes songs like this also, and he doesn't have to sit down and think, okay, now I'll write a song and I'll pretend I'm a great devotee. So, not like that at all. And it's a natural expression of the ecstasy that he feels all the time as he's perceiving Krishna with his eyes, his tongue, his nose, his all his consciousness, like Narad Muni. He's experiencing that. He's describing Krishna from personal experience. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing Krishna from personal experience. So as this series of verses, which this seems like it's the last. No, there's one more. This series of verses describe the form of Krishna. So I thought I'd read that out to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his descriptions of the form of Krishna. And all the great Vaishnavas, they write so on and on, an ending kirtan describing their appreciation of the form of Krishna. That here in what's now called Tamil Nadu, the Vedanta Deshika, I believe it was, he wrote, if we're going to describe the form of Krishna, we begin with the feet, right? So Vedanta Deshika, when he sat down to write, he didn't get even as far as the feet. He wrote 1,000 verses praising the shoes on the feet. So you can understand what ecstasy they're feeling. They didn't even get it. He's going to describe the feet, but before he got to the feet, he described the shoes. And that was 1,000 verses. These are devotees, so sometimes we can read such nice things and we can at least get some idea that we've still got a long way to go. But if we stick to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then by the mercy of Narad Muni and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vedanta Deshika and Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees, then certainly we will sometime have appreciation for the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, as you can see on the cover of this book. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? No? All right. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.